Father, on this Ascension Sunday, where we remember Jesus coming back to be with you after his life, death, and resurrection on this earth, we are reminded that he carried our fears with him. He carried our sins, our troubles away, so that we could enjoy true peace in this life. And so, Lord, that's a hard thing for sometimes for us to imagine. But today, we pray that you would speak clearly into our hearts about the peace that you desire us to live with here on this earth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So like the little guy, I don't know if you could hear him in the video. When I was growing up, I was deathly afraid of our basement. And in particular, our laundry room. Our laundry room is kind of this funky design basement area. It's hard to find the light switch. You're fumbling around, tripping over things. It's really dark down there. There's loud noises coming from the water heater and from the furnace. But the worst part of our basement, my parents still live there, is there's all sorts of nooks and crannies that are really dark. Perfect places for monsters to hide. At least in the mind of this 6-year-old boy, that would take place. And so I was scared of the basement. It's easy to look back at things we were scared of as kids and sort of say, hey, that wasn't that big of a deal, and kind of forget them. But as we grow up and as we grow bigger and older, I believe that there are fears that we still hang on to. For example, I have a fear of failing. Not exactly a great fear to have when you're leading a large congregation. I am a people pleaser. I have a fear of people being mad at me. When you have 4,000 members, again, not a good fear to have, because lots of times there's more than a few of you who are mad at me for one reason or another. These fears make their way into my marriage, and as a dad, I'm afraid that I won't be a good dad or that I'll somehow let down my wife. And I'm just guessing that I'm not the only one in here today that has some fears that you carry around with you. But here's the thing. When Jesus showed up on this earth, and when he gave his life for us, when he ascended into heaven, one of the promises that he gave to us was that he doesn't want us to live in fear. But instead, he wants us to live with peace. You see, Jesus, when he took on flesh and lived as one of us, he faced the fears that we face in this life. And so when he teaches that we can have peace in this life, he understands what that means. In our readings from John's Gospel in chapter 14 and 16, we get a small flavor of what's happening during this time of his ministry. He's just told his disciples that he has to suffer and die. And they're afraid. They're scared. They don't want him to leave. And what we find all throughout this section of Scripture is that Jesus again and again reminds them that fear doesn't have the final word in their lives, but he does. And the peace that he came to give them. But what I appreciate about this section of Scripture is Jesus doesn't just offer some religious platitudes that somehow will try to make everyone feel better. But what he promises them, and this seems strange to us, is that they will have trouble in this world. He promises them that life will not be easy. He promises them that there's going to be lots of things to be afraid of as they live their lives in this world. But then he says, you will find true peace in me. So look to me during those times of trouble. This theme is found all throughout the narrative of Scripture. We see it everywhere. In fact, the most used phrase in the Bible is a form of the words, do not be afraid. We need to be reminded of this. That we have not been given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of strength, because Jesus lives in us by his Spirit. The word that's used in the Old Testament to talk about this is shalom, or peace. And this is a peace that reaches far beyond the surface of how we feel, but it reaches into the deepest places of who we are. And this is the kind of peace that we have when we fully understand that because of Jesus, our relationship with the Holy God is good. And not because of anything we've done, but because of what God has done for us in Jesus. And so now, what do we have to be afraid of? What do we have to be afraid of if everything between us and the Creator of the world is now good because of Jesus? Can you think of one thing that we should be afraid of? There is nothing that should overwhelm our lives with fear because we are at peace with God. But we need to be reminded of this again and again. That's why we hear in the Scriptures, do not be afraid. And way back in Numbers, why God said to Moses, give the people a special blessing. And you hear this almost every week around here. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with His favor and give you His
peace.
See, our God does not want us to live our lives in fear when this peace is available to each and every one of us. I wish I could just say amen right there and we'd be done. Don't we all wish we had a little bit more of this peace in our lives? Do you ever wonder why our lives feel like they are lacking this peace? I think one of the reasons why is we don't realize how often we live our lives in fear. During this series, we've been following a book called Simplify by Bill Hybels, and he says this about fear. He says, fear is the fundamental barrier to peace. And he calls these things peace busters, and we all have them in our lives. Maybe it's a financial struggle or unexpected bad news that comes your way. Maybe it's a broken relationship. Maybe it's your own mortality as you get a little bit older. We all have these things that are constantly fighting against the peace that God has come to bring us. And so the question for us is how do we respond in those moments of fear? Where do we look? Do we look at our fear or do we look at our Savior? And when I think about how to respond to it, I'm drawn to the Apostle Paul. If anyone had reason to be afraid, it was this guy. So after beginning to follow Jesus, his life was all about planting churches. And as he did that, there were times when he was beaten for what he was saying. There were times where he was thrown into prison where his life was threatened. And yet, through it all, find me somebody with more joy than the Apostle Paul. One time he was in prison and he wrote a book to the Philippians, to the church at Philippi. And he wrote that book again from prison. And the central theme of the book is joy. You remember me, I get pouty if my pizza order gets messed up. And here's a guy in prison writing about joy. He says, here's how you handle fear in your life. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, offer your prayers and petitions to God. And then something will happen. The peace that transcends all human understanding, it will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So when all that junk comes your way, when you're filled with fear and filled with anxiety, what do we tend to do? We tend to focus on those things. Paul says, give it to the Lord in prayer. That's why when we talk about being disciples of Jesus and walking the discipleship path, that prayer is such an important part of that, because when we pray, it focuses us back on God, and Jesus will actually do something. The Scripture promises He will guard our hearts and our minds. Think about that promise in your own lives. That God doesn't want us to live in fear. But He wants to give us peace. Even in the midst of our fear. In John 16:33, Jesus says some interesting words. He says, I have told you all this, talking to His disciples, and the all that He's speaking of is the suffering that He will endure and the pain that they will endure, but also the promise of the Holy Spirit who will bring them peace. And He says, I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. Jesus speaks truth to us, doesn't he? Sometimes we have this idea that when we're a Christian, we should somehow be free from all the troubles and perils of this world, or that somehow our lives should be perfect, or that somehow God should reward our generosity, or whatever we want to do to try to make it feel better. But Jesus says, in this world, you're going to have trouble. That's my promise to you, because we live in a broken world. But then he says something so much better than, I'm going to rescue you from all your troubles. He says, I have overcome the world for you. And so now whatever you face in this life, it might be scary, but you don't have to face it with fear. Because I have given you the gift of peace. I don't give to you like the world gives you. I give you something so much better. I leave you my peace. And if everything is good between us and God, what do we have to be afraid of? Anything? Anybody have an answer? I'm still trying to think of one. That great scripture. Don't be afraid of what they can do to your body. Be afraid of the one who can take your soul. When everything's good with us and God, what do we have to be afraid of? And so if there's a fear that you're hanging on to or keeps coming back in your life, I want to offer you these three simple suggestions. First, keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Let your heart be guarded by Christ, your heart and your mind by Christ. And the first thing we have to do is we have to identify the origin of our fear. I can identify the origin of my fear of failure going all the way back to the fifth grade when I was standing on a pitcher's mound in WAA baseball. I was pitching for the Orioles. Now Rocky in the background, he actually played for the Orioles. And just side note here, he has Brooks Robinson's phone number if you want to call Brooks today and have a conversation. And we were 16-0 that year. We had lost a game, and there we were, the championship game, and I'm pitching, and I completely blew the game, and we lost. And now when I think of fear of failure, it sort of, for me, stems back to a baseball game, as silly as that is. So you got to identify what's the origin of your fear, and that might mean talking to a counselor or a therapist. That's okay. If something continues to come up in your life again and again, you got to figure out why, or you will continue to live with it. And secondly, maybe most importantly, we have to expose fear's lies. If you're like me, do you always go to the worst possible result in your mind? And isn't it interesting how we can kind of convince ourselves that the worst possible thing is actually going to happen? And because so often our actions follow our thoughts, we can almost convince ourselves of something bad happening and we can walk into it, a self-fulfilling prophecy. So I've always got this little voice in my head telling me, you're going to fail. You blew it in fifth grade baseball. How can you possibly preach a sermon? We have to expose the lies that our fears tell us, because they're just not true. Just not true. And then thirdly, we have to face our fears head on. If you're with us in church a lot, you'll hear me say this about all sorts of things. Hope is not a plan. If you just hope your fear is going to get better, if you just hope that someday it will go away, it will not. You have to face it head on. And so there I was a year later, sixth grade, playing for the Blue Jays. And we were in the championship game again, and I was pitching. And imagine what the voice was in my head. You're going to blow it. You're going to blow it. I could have just stepped away and walked away, but I said, I'm going to face that fear head on, and we won the game. Great. Still have the trophy somewhere. Silly baseball game. But don't we all have things like that in our lives that have shaped who we are and the things that we fear? Jesus knows that. He understands that. He lived that for you and for me.
Which is why the words of 1 John chapter 4 are so important. Verse 15. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in His love. See, when we have shalom in our lives, when we have peace in our lives, it brings transformation in the way that we live our lives. And we understand that we don't have to live always racked by fear because we have peace. And nowhere is this more clear than in the earliest followers of Jesus. Where were they in the Garden of Gethsemane? Do you remember? They ran away scared. Some believe that one of the disciples even ran away naked. He was so scared. I don't care if I have clothes on. I am getting out of here. What was Peter doing when Jesus went before Pilate? There he was in the courtyard saying he didn't even know who Jesus was because he was afraid. Where were they as Jesus hung on the cross? They were scattered because they were afraid. And after his death, where do we find all his disciples locked in a room out of fear? And then something happens. They receive the Holy Spirit. God's power comes upon them. They become willing to give their lives, sawed in half for their faith, decapitated for their faith, hung upside down on a cross for their faith, fed to lions for their faith. But you better believe they had peace because they knew everything was good with them and God. You see, perfect love casts out fear. Or as the NLT says, it expels fear from our lives. And friends, we know perfect love because God has shown it to us in His Son, Jesus. And so as fear comes your way, as anxiety comes your way, and it will, as troubles come your way, and they will, remember this truth. That Jesus has overcome the world. He's overcome the world for you and for me. So that we don't have to live a life of fear, but can live a life of peace. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for the peace that we've been given in your Son, Jesus. May it pervade every area of our lives. And for those of us who are stuck in fear, anxiety, whatever it might be this day, Lord, I pray that you would release us from that and instead show us a better way. Your way of peace, given to us by your Son, Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen.